I'm Anthony Moreno at 7:45. There's a debate on whether the national conversation about border security matches the reality on the ground. Mallory Falk reports.
Roy Boyd is chief deputy at the Victoria County Sheriff's Office. When he heard the president was sending National Guard troops to the border, he didn't have a strong reaction.
If you're not from down here, then yes, it may seem like a big deal. But when you know the history and your family's been down here a long time, you've seen it and it's all a repeat.
Boyd says his great-great-grandfather was a Texas Ranger.
He had a lot of interaction with the New Jersey National Guard on the border in Brownsville in 1917.
Lots of Texans along the border have had those interactions, for better or worse. Danny Dominguez is the Presidio County Sheriff in the Big Bend region. He says if troops show up,
it'll trigger a lot of emotions. What happened back in 1997.
That's when a Presidio County 18-year-old was shot and killed by Marines during a drug surveillance mission. Dominguez himself is open to the troops. He says his county's geographically spread out and understaffed and could use the extra help. But he's not so sure about the border wall.
In my area, it's mostly mountains and canyons, and it's a natural-made wall. So really, it's just a waste of money there.
On Wednesday, Attorney General Jeff Sessions addressed the group.
The lack of the wall on the southern border is an open invitation to illegal crossings. The failure of Congress to move on the wall is sending a message, I'm afraid, that we are not resolute.
But Sessions focused much of his speech on what he calls loopholes in the law and said he'd bring law and order back into the immigration system. Pete Conticelli's a law enforcement coordinator in New Mexico. He says the country needs a multi-pronged approach.
I don't think there's any one fix for what's going on in the United States right now across the four border states. You can't just say we're just going to put up a wall and that's going to help law enforcement and help the security of our country.
You have to talk to the locals, he says. They know their areas best. In Las Cruces, I'm Mallory Falk.
The recent firing of the Secretary of Veterans Affairs has raised concerns about efforts to privatize veteran health care. While the Trump administration successfully pushed for a large increase in defense spending, in other areas, it is cutting federal government programs. Some thoughts on the issue from commentator Walt Rubel of the Las Cruces Sun News.
If the guiding principle of modern-day conservative political philosophy is smaller federal government, then Donald Trump may be the most effective president ever to hold the office, for better or for worse. That gets lost, I think, in all the craziness that constantly surrounds Trump. The latest example is the firing of David Shulkin as Veterans Affairs Secretary. Because of Trump, the focus has been on the crazy. The fact that Shulkin was fired by tweet hours after a phone conversation with the president that gave no indication the firing was coming. The fact that he was the third cabinet-level official and the bazillionth high-ranking official to leave the White House. The fact that he was in trouble for taking a European vacation on the taxpayer's dime. And the fact that he was replaced by Trump's physician, who is best known for the Saturday Night Live parody of his fawning press conference following the president's annual physical examination. All of that may be newsworthy, but it misses the bigger picture. And that is the ongoing debate as to whether we should even have a Veterans Administration at all. That is the debate Shulkin tried to draw attention to in his recent New York Times opinion piece. Unfortunately, the department has become entangled in a brutal power struggle, with some political appointees choosing to promote their agendas instead of what's best for veterans, he said. These individuals, who seek to privatize veterans' health care as an alternative to government-run VA care, unfortunately fail to engage in realistic plans regarding who will care for the more than 9 million veterans who rely on the department for life-sustaining care. Working with community providers to adequately ensure that veterans' needs are met is good practice, he said. But privatization leading to the dismantling of the department's extensive healthcare system is a terrible idea. The department's understanding of service-related health problems, its groundbreaking research, and its special ability to work with military veterans cannot easily be replicated in the private sector, Shulkin said. All persuasive arguments, if the goal is to meet our obligation to care for the men and women who risk their lives serving our country. If, however, the goal is to shrink the federal government, then you can't find a more appealing target than the VA. The Veterans Health Administration is the largest integrated health care system in our nation, with 1,240 health care facilities. The VA is also responsible for administering all benefit and entitlement programs, for providing burial and memorial benefits, and managing national cemeteries. They have more than 377,000 employees and an annual budget of just under $200 billion. Rear Admiral Ronnie Jackson, the White House physician who has been picked by Trump to head the VA, is by all accounts an excellent doctor, a stellar Navy officer, and an incredibly bright guy. But he's never run a hospital, more or less the nation's largest healthcare system. He's never managed anything close to the size of the VA, and he would appear to be ill-suited for the political battle Shulkin describes in his column. In short, he's overmatched. I don't know if that's intentional or just crazy. With this week's commentary, I'm Walt Rubel with Las Cruces Sun News.
While Rubel's columns appear in the Sunday edition of the Las Cruces Sun News, Rubel's opinions are his own and do not necessarily represent the views of KRWG or NMSU.